thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
This evening we're going to look at another of the questions Jesus asked in Matthew's Gospel. It was actually four questions that he asked together. But before we come to Jesus' question, I want to ask you a question of my own. Do you treat people in a distinctively Christian way? Do you treat people in a distinctively Christian way? You might want to come right back at me with another question and ask, well, what is a distinctively Christian way to treat people? Well, this evening, when we look at these four related questions that Jesus asks, we will see that there is indeed a distinctively Christian way or a kingdom way to treat people. And as usual, Jesus' questions scratch deeper than the surface. They provoke us and they challenge us to think a bit deeper about our lives. Jesus never talks about idealistic but unrealistic ideas, nor does he focus on fuzzy feelings that we may have from time to time. But Jesus reminds us that being a disciple or a follower of his, being a citizen of the kingdom of God, requires us to live a life that is beyond the natural. Do you realize that? The life of the disciple of Jesus, the life in the kingdom of God, is a life beyond the natural. It's a life we can't actually live in our own strength. It goes completely against the grain. It's against our natural feelings, our natural reactions, but it is a life that can be enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. If we have been given the Spirit. Shoot me dead for saying that. We have been given, because you cannot be a believer without the Holy Spirit. We all know that. We have been given the Holy Spirit of God, and he is the one who empowers us and enables us to live according to the kingdom. So let's turn to Jesus' four questions. They're in Matthew's Gospel 5, reading from 43 to 47. Jesus questions, four questions, about how we treat others. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun. I don't think I ever noticed before that it says his sun. I always read the sun. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Those two verses, the questions. If you love those who love you, what rewards will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? If a large number of diverse people were put together in a room or in a place and told to chat and mix with each other, it wouldn't take too long before they would start splitting up into smaller groups with people very similar to themselves. They would maybe stick to people who had similar interests, or those who had the same skin color, or the same religion, or the same social background, or the same kinds of jobs. There isn't anything unusual about that. There isn't anything wrong with that. That is just what happens naturally. It happens in life generally. We tend to stick with people that are like us. People that we feel comfortable with. People who are like us and we naturally gravitate to them. And to clarify here, Jesus isn't saying there's anything wrong with that. It's completely natural. But he's challenging us and provoking us with his questions to go beyond the purely natural way of living. His questions go right to the heart of the matter. Everyone, whether they are good or evil, they love people who are just like themselves. They greet people who are just like themselves. They greet people who like them. This is the natural way, it's the norm. But Jesus is calling his disciples, probably most of us, people of the kingdom, to do something altogether more radical. He's calling us to look at God's kind of love. And he's telling us the sons of God. The sons of God. And if you're a Christian tonight, that is what you are. You are a son of God. He's saying the sons of God will love in the same way that God loves. That is radical. How does God love? Firstly, God loves without discrimination. In this passage here, Jesus told his disciples, his followers, that God loves all people without discrimination. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's a word without discrimination. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, another word without discrimination, whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. This verse makes the extent, the expansiveness of God's love crystal clear. His love extends to everybody, the world, everyone in the world. And Paul tells us in one of his sermons that God gives the command to all men, no discrimination, all men, everywhere, no discrimination, to repent. And Acts 17:30. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. 2 Peter 3:9. God is patient, not wanting anyone, no discrimination, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone, no discrimination, to come to repentance. And the invitation goes out to the world, to everyone. And the assurance is for everyone. Romans 10:13. Everyone, no discrimination, who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. No discrimination. That is how God loves. Jesus used the example of God sending rain and sunshine to both the evil and to the good. It's a love that isn't just about talk, but it's a love that is constantly demonstrated in our world, even today. The rain has come somewhere. I'm sure, did it come in Ballymoney today? I'm not sure. The sunshine, I'm not sure we saw much of it. But the rain and the sunshine, what is it? It's a demonstration of God's love. And if we are sons of our Father God, we are to love like God, to love without discrimination. This is a distinctively Christian way to love. Because I'll tell you folks, it goes way beyond the natural. The challenge for each one of us is clear. Do we really, really love people who are not our friends or our family? Do we really? Are we really impacted by their circumstances? Not just maybe we see somebody in poverty, or we see somebody sick, or we see somebody going through a hard time, but more importantly, are we impacted by their eternal plight? Because that is what truly distinctive Christian love is about. Being really concerned about the eternal plight of the men and the women and the children all around us. Non-Christians love their friends. Non-Christians love their families. It's a natural thing to do. Evil people love their friends. Evil people love their families. But as sons of God, are we going beyond the natural? Are we demonstrating God's kind of love? Love without discrimination. Love for evil people. Love for good people. It's not natural, and it's naturally impossible, because we cannot, by ourselves, we cannot, and I'll keep repeating that, we cannot love like this by ourselves. It's God's kind of love. But as we come close to God, and as we ask Him to fill our hearts with love, love without discrimination, He will surely birth that love in us. God desires for nothing more than to place love without discrimination within His church. Does He not? Sometimes we're so discriminating. We want a certain kind of people and a certain kind of lifestyle, and we can be so discriminating. There's nothing new in it. But God's love is a love with no discrimination. I tell you, it's not about our words. It is about our actions. It's not about how we say we love. It's about how we actually show that we love. Because the kind of love that Jesus is talking about here, it's not generalized. It's not feeling sorry for people. It's not a kind of mushy feeling, soft thoughts about people. The word Jesus used is agape. God's kind of love. Divine love. We cannot do it by ourselves. And yet, this is distinctively Christian love. This is the love that is to characterize our lives. Loving not just the people we're comfortable with, not just the people we naturally love, but loving those that we're not comfortable with. Loving those that naturally we just don't love. Jesus told the disciples, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Who's an enemy? Maybe somebody who's rejected us. Somebody who has hurt us or continually trying to hurt us. Jesus says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That may seem impossible to you, but we are followers of the one who didn't just speak these words, some kind of idealistic utopia somewhere. These are the words of someone who demonstrated the reality of what he said. Because God's love is without discrimination, but God loves with demonstration. Jesus came into the world. He came, John tells us, to his own, to the people of Israel. But his own did not receive him. They rejected him. Throughout his whole life, even from babyhood, the Jews were trying to kill him. It started when he was a little baby. Herod searched high and low, trying to kill Jesus. As soon as he appeared as an adult, preaching, teaching, demonstrating the kingdom of God, the Jewish religious leaders were plotting and scheming how they could destroy him and kill him. Eventually, they stirred up the crowds against Jesus by their scheming and lying. In the final hours of Jesus' life, the crowd were baying for his blood. They were shouting out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" God loves with demonstration. Hear the prayer Jesus offered on the cross. When they came to the place called the skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." This was the heart of Jesus Christ, forgiving even as he was crucified on a Roman cross between common criminals. This is how God loves, by demonstration. I am absolutely sure the Roman soldiers who carried out the crucifixion, they were well used to this job. They were used to hearing many things as they led condemned criminals outside of Jerusalem's city walls to the different places of execution. And I'm sure they heard many things from the mouths of those people, many things as they nailed them to the cross, many protesting their innocence, I'm sure, many swearing curses of many kind, many cries of vengeance and revenge, anger and hatred pouring out of people's mouths. I'm sure there were cries of mercy, cries for mercy, cries for help. But I wonder how long it was before those Roman soldiers noticed the difference in the three men who were walking outside Jerusalem's city walls on that Friday morning. Isaiah tells us he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He wasn't protesting his innocence. He wasn't cursing those who nailed him to the cross. He wasn't shouting for vengeance. He was praying for the forgiveness of those who put him there. What's that hymn that we sing? "Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers." That's God's kind of love. Love that keeps on loving, even when you're rejected. Love that keeps on loving, even when you are maligned and lied against. Love that keeps on loving, even when you are betrayed. This is love without discrimination. This is love that isn't selective. This is love that doesn't filter out the unlovable. This is love that keeps no record of wrongs. This is love that gives and gives and gives again. This is God's kind of love. When the New Testament speaks of the love of God, it is almost always in the context of the cross of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because God's love is a love that is demonstrated. We've already read John 3:16. What about Romans 5:8? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is God's kind of love. Love that gives to those who don't deserve it. But love that gives to those who despise him, who reject him, but still he loves, not with words, but with actions. It's his love. Friends, it's his love that chose us to belong to him before the foundation of the world. That is one of my favourite verses in the Bible, Ephesians 1:4. That's amazing. It's his love that predestined you to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ. God's love. Hallelujah. It is his love that patiently calls you to follow him. How many times did you reject him? How many times did you hear his voice? How many times did you say no? I was speaking to somebody this week who told me or texted me and said that they had sat in this meeting many Sunday evenings when I was preaching the gospel and God was speaking to them and they constantly were saying no, no. One night they were in another church and they heard the call again and they said yes. Do you know why? Not because one preacher's better than another. No, not because one church is better than another. Because God is patient. Because God keeps on calling even when we reject him time after time. It's his love that grants us the faith to believe and to receive. None of it's natural. None of it. It's supernatural. It's a work of God. And if we think we will just naturally love our enemies, we're mistaken. Because it's not a work of the flesh. It is only as we are filled with God's love, loving like God by the power of the Spirit, reliant on him to fill us. I think first we need to face up to how unloving sometimes we are. I'm not saying, and I am absolutely not saying, you are an unloving person. But all of us struggle sometimes to really love, to love as Jesus loves. We have to face up to the fact that sometimes we do discriminate. Sometimes we think, I'm just sure if God could actually change that person. Maybe we don't say it out loud, but we think it in our hearts. We can't see how God could do it. Some people just seem unlovable. God so loved the world. He loved me. And I know me. I know me. He loved me. He loves me. He loved you. He loves you. Do you know your own heart? Do you see it? Friends, if you're honest and you see your own heart, you know there's not a lot that's lovable. And yet, he loved you. He loves without discrimination. And finally, God loves through you. This is amazing. We who are in Christ, the old has gone and the new has come. The new has come. That doesn't just mean my sins are gone. It does mean that. But it means I am becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is transforming me day by day into the likeness of my Savior. Is that not true? And if that is true, surely our love will be growing. And surely God will give his love to others through us. We live in this town of Ballymoney and the surrounding towns and districts here. It is right here, right here that God is calling us to love people without discrimination and without, or with rather, demonstration. It's not about an emotional response. It's not always about liking people. It is about loving them with the love of God. It is choosing to love people, choosing to see people with the eyes of the Lord instead of our own natural eyes. We can talk about love, but it is through our lives, how we speak to people, how we interact with people, that they will experience God's love. Jesus' compassion for men and women, it needs to revolutionize our hearts so that we as a church, people of God, so that we can't stop talking about Jesus Christ. Can't stop talking about Jesus Christ. You've heard that it was said, Jesus said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. That was a common saying. People said that like as if it was in the scriptures. It wasn't in the scriptures. It was an accepted saying. People thought it's logical. If you love your neighbor, you hate your enemy. Jesus turned it on his head. He said, folks, followers, the way of the kingdom of this is this. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Jesus' mind, he wasn't talking about nameless, faceless people, faraway people, distant threat. He's talking about people that we encounter every day of our lives. Maybe in our families, maybe at work, maybe in our neighborhood. People who may want to harm us. People who may want to stab you in the back. People who may talk about you, spread lies about you, blacken your character. The kind of people we try to block out of our minds and avoid. Jesus said, love them. Love them. To finish tonight, I ask you, I ask myself, do I love like Jesus, like God, without discrimination? Do I love with demonstration? Will I allow God to love people through me? Through me. That's the challenge. That is the challenge. Let's pray. Our Father, you know all of our hearts. Lord, each one of us here tonight, we are open and bare before you. You know everything. Lord, I thank you that your love has reached us. For some, Lord, their love has grown cold. In many ways, they have rejected your love. But I thank you tonight, Lord, that still you love. And you're calling them back to you, back to closeness, back to intimacy with you. I pray, Lord, that they would respond tonight and hear your voice, hear your call. Lord, there are many here tonight who love you and walking with you. And yet they struggle, really struggle, just to share the gospel with the men and women around. We all struggle. Lord, I pray that compassion for the lost will burn in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we will forget ourselves and all our inadequacies, and we will trust in you. And Lord, that we will be bold in the kingdom of God and step up and step out, Lord, and just begin to share the gospel, share our own testimonies with people around us. Help us to be courageous. In this year, Lord, help us to be courageous. Enable us by the power of your Spirit to love without discrimination, to demonstrate your love, and to allow you to love through us. Amen. And your love
is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.